All right, guys, happy Tuesday. You know, back when Kanye West wrote the rap lyric, "Doctors say I'm the illest because I'm suffering from realness," he was way ahead of his time. I mean, the idea of suffering for maintaining your authenticity had never even been heard of back then. Now this illness is apparently going mainstream, and Melania Trump has come down with it because she is in the most authentic move ever, and I am talking ever, declining to sit down with the fake doctor Jill Biden, which is customary. Her reasons, I'm going to tell you that in a little bit. Plus, President Trump is already causing various kinds of clinical reactions as he cites his agenda. He says he's going to abolish the Department of Education. And there are people that are crying about this, and I think that they are unwittingly proving that it ought to be abolished. But first, have you guys heard about the ultra-feminist 4B movement as a response to Donald Trump's election? I'm so glad that people were tagging me in this and made me aware of this TikTok movement. Bigger than TikTok, honestly, it's been going on for almost a decade. We definitely have to talk about that. All that and much more coming up on Candace. Okay, this is a real headline I'm about to show you guys. Okay, I don't make this stuff up. This was actually posted in GB News. Check out this headline. It is just completely crazy. Liberal women across America vow to never have sex with men again in revenge for Donald Trump's victory. I said, what? Then my sister texted me. She's like, have you heard of this 4B movement? All of a sudden people are saying 4B, 4B. I'm like, what are we talking about? Okay, so let me slow this down for you in case you're this is the first time you've heard about it. So apparently in South Korea, there was an extreme feminist movement that emerged during the 2010s as a response to what South Korean women perceived as a, yes, you guessed it, patriarchal and misogynistic culture, okay? So their movement really caught steam in 2016 after there was this highly publicized murder of a woman who was killed by a man. And although he was indeed found guilty of murder, the women in South Korea were still upset that the man was not also charged with a hate crime. So essentially, like, I understand that he's going to prison and he's obviously being charged, but I want you to say that he did this because she's a woman. Don't get me started on hate crimes. It's all very stupid. I've never heard of a love crime, but yeah. So they got upset about this, and the what came to be known as the 4B movement took off, because obviously that could have only happened, refusing to charge him for a hate crime, because the patriarchy exists. So yes, the reactionary movement known as 4B, I'm going to tell you what that means. 4B means four no's, because the B means no in Korean. And it refers to four self-imposed restrictions that women are supposed to put on themselves. Number one, no dating men. Number two, no sexual relationships with men. Number three, no marriage to men. And number four, no childbirth. Which you would think number four would be a bit redundant if you're not having any sexual relations with men, but nobody ever accuses women of being geniuses. Naturally, of course, it has now been appropriated by the angry left-wing female voters across America who are super upset about the election results. So I'm just going to show you this because it is taking off. Like, this is a left-wing trend right now happening on the internet. You have to be aware of it. Here is this not-so-genius woman as just one example. Take a listen.
Not that my content reaches a lot of men, because I have an IQ of 130, but I want the men in this country to know that half the female population, we're dry. We're probably gonna stay dry. I'm dry as a desert, baby, and I don't want it to change. Yeah, we're not gonna like you anymore. You understand that? Like, it doesn't matter if you take away abortion. Like, we'll wanna have your babies even less, right? Yeah. Even if you take away contraception, like, women are really good at celibacy because you guys are actually a threat to us. Mm. So we have a lot less to gain from you. So yeah, 4B all the way. Let's make some money, I guess. That's all we can do now.
First of all, I love that she says she repels men because she has an IQ of 130. It's not like it's like the highest IQ in the entire world. It's like slightly above average. And then she launches into this diatribe like, okay, you're no longer going to get this. And I always love when people pretend that they're oppressed, like on a TikTok, like, I'm living in this oppressed society. I'm going to make this TikTok video and post it to the world because I'm just so oppressed. It's such a nonsense, but it gets even crazier than that. Here is a woman encouraging other women to join this movement and to make sure that to prepare yourself for this, like as if you're preparing for an emergency. Stock up on sex toys. I'm not kidding. Take a listen.
Ladies, I'm not saying this to be facetious, but I don't care if you're a rose girl, a wand girl, or a monster alien tentacle girl. Stock up now for your moments of weakness, because I promise you ain't no alive worth getting stuck with a man. None. We are taking coochie off the table indefinitely.
I'm just going to beg everyone to please stop saying coochie. It's deeply upsetting to me. But sorry, fellas, you heard it. Hers is off the table. I know there's some fellas watching going, no. And thin eyebrows have been out for a very long time. But these are the videos they're making. They're letting men know that you ain't going to get this no matter who you are. You ain't going to touch this no more because Trump is in office. And now you fellas can suffer. And here's another woman who seems totally stable and normal saying pretty much the same thing. Take a listen.
To the men of America, thank you so much, because you have now officially pushed any woman who was ever questioning herself away from you and into my arms. And I am now 100% gay. I wasn't sure before, but now I am positive. So if you're a man, don't look at me, don't touch me, don't speak to me, don't breathe near me, okay? Okay, I'm glad we got that sorted.
That one for me is a little bit of a Mean Girls moment. I'm like, does she even go here? She's American men. I just feel like she doesn't even go here. But whatever, she's joining in on the movement too, because she's also upset, even though she faces no consequence, likely, of Trump being elected as president of the United States. She's upset and she's therefore off the table. Again, I am very sorry, fellas. And that is not the only component of this movement, because as I said, this is a radical feminist movement and nobody does radicalism better than the feminists. They are also saying that as one component of this, women are being called to de-beautify themselves. And they have decided that the best way to do that, to really make a statement to men, is to shave their heads. Take a look at this. And in case you're listening to this on audio, we're just showing here a compilation of women that are just a montage of women that are shaving their heads. Some of them are crying. I don't know why this woman looks like she's been, I don't know, there's a person wearing a black hood that's shaving her head and covering his face like she's a victim. This woman kind of just seems to be zen as somebody shaves her head entirely bald. This woman is smiling. She feels empowered by this. Another woman is smiling at the barbershop. She feels empowered. And this woman is dancing like an alien in her room, looking happy and overjoyed as she puts on lipstick with her new bald head. Now, you can imagine there were a litany of responses to this on the internet, but what has been one response they probably weren't expecting. A ton of women who are going through cancer treatment, chemotherapy, and have to shave their heads for real reasons. And it's a very, very challenging moment for them. It's a very emotional moment for them, are making videos saying, you are signaling to the world that women who have bald heads don't deserve to be loved and don't deserve to be liked and are not beautiful. So that kind of backfired just a little bit. But I just wanted to show you, these are all of the elements. So what are we to make of the 4B movement? Are we supposed to ridicule these women, or do we choose compassion? That's kind of the big question that people are grappling with in the wake of the election results. Like, how do we respond to these human beings? Are they even human beings? That's what I'm asking myself. And you have people like Vivek Ramaswamy, who I love, I think is absolutely brilliant. And he instantly, like, following the election results, came down and said, guys, this is really a time for us to demonstrate compassion, to take the high road. Russell Brand, who I also adore, held a similar perspective, or you could say an adjacent perspective on his show. Really, he's just sort of asking the question as well, how do we respond to so many people who seem to be suffering from some sort of a mental break in the wake of these election results? Take a listen to Russell Brand.
I'm not saying that those people, those individuals, should be sort of ridiculed or condemned. I know a lot of you will really get off on it. Like, what I'm saying is, what is making them feel that way? In the same way that we can be directed to sort of drink sort of Coca-Cola when it's sort of not really very good for you, and I like let my children drink it. Like, what kind of conditioning, what kind of coaxing, what kind of propaganda has led people to think that what's about to happen is so significant and so against their interests that it warrants this degree of emotion?
I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with you. I'm done with you and your mother and your sister. I'm just done with all of this.
So it's amazing that it's Russell Brand, because back when he was way more on the left, I always knew he was going to come more to the center or to the right, because we had such a great time. He was inviting conservative voices onto his podcast, Under the Skin. And I went on his show and we just had such a great back forth as someone on the right versus someone on the left. And we were laughing and we had this same discussion about whether or not people should be compassionate. And at that time, Russell Brand was very much on the side that people should be compassionate. And I said, no, we shouldn't be compassionate. And I want to be very clear that looking at this 4B movement, looking at these people that are having breakdowns, looking at, I'm done. I am choosing not to be compassionate, okay? I think these people should be ridiculed, and I believe that these people should be condemned, and I'm going to tell you why. It is because compassion is the reason that we are in this circumstance. This is what nobody wants to tell you, okay? Everybody wants to be kind, to give hugs. That is the problem, is that you have a bunch of people. I see this when I go on college campuses and they're coming up to me begging for their oppression. Imagine buying tickets to a Candace Owens event on campus, right? There are tons of people that want to go to this event, but you make sure you're first in line to steal one of these tickets. You then wait in a line that's wrapping around the campus to find yourself a seat so that you can wait until the very end to ask Candace Owens a question and say, I feel oppressed by your presence here. The presence that you are opting into. These are the most remarkably privileged people in the entire world. And they're privileged because we are giving them too much compassion. We tell them every feeling that they have is valid. It's not. Every feeling that you have is not valid. I have to check myself, check my sisters. This is the point in telling the truth, is that it tells people, no, actually, you need to regulate your emotions. I don't need to validate them. You need to regulate them. And somehow, in the last 15 years, things completely changed. And we just said to people, every feeling and emotion that you have is valid. You know, I had this discussion with Dave Smith. It was off camera. We were just driving somewhere after he came on my podcast. And he said to me, it's so important for men to call one another the P word. I'm just not saying it because I even though it's kind of a cat word, you know. P cat, you know? And he said, growing up, it's very important for men to say that, like, stop being a little P word, stop being a little P word. And he said, the reason is because it signals to other men that this behavior that you're doing right now is not acceptable. It challenges them to be men. It says to them, like, you need to be stronger. You need to be more assertive. And they need to hear that. They need to call each other names and call each other, you know, gay and whatever it is, because it signals to them that the tribe is not going to accept this sort of behavior. And I very much believe in that. And it is the same manner that when I am dealing with my children, I don't tell them every feeling they have is valid. The other weekend, actually a week ago, rather, we have this thing in Tennessee. My little three-year-old boy was terrified of ladybugs. Now, you might be thinking this, by the way, I should put this in perspective to make him look a little tougher than he is. It's not because ladybugs are not like when you live in Connecticut. In Tennessee, we get a season where they swarm. Right? A swarm of, it's basically an infestation. As soon as it starts to get cold, there is nothing that is cute and innocent after there's 3,000 of them suddenly around your house. It's truly nothing. I mean, a swarm of anything is just always bad. And so because there were so many, my three-year-old son was just so upset about this and was like, I don't like ladybugs. And I said to him, stop it. You're not allowed to be afraid of ladybugs. You know, this is like this easiest way that you can say, or the kindest way you can say to a three-year-old, man up. I said, your sister is not afraid of ladybugs. You're not allowed to be afraid of ladybugs. And this week, he's not afraid of ladybugs. And suddenly we're picking up the ladybugs. I mean, we have to understand that this culture that we have fostered over the last 15 years is not working, okay? These kids are privileged. They've never been told no. They're whiny. They're bratty. So yes, condemn them, ridicule them because their parents have failed them. And that is all that I want to say about that topic before we get into Melania. Trump dance. But first, I got to tell you about Gold Co. Because gold has been used as a store of value for thousands of years, it's known as a safe haven asset in times of uncertainty. And it has been breaking record after record this year. Many economists are predicting that it could skyrocket even higher. Right now, thousands of Americans are looking to precious metals like gold and silver to diversify their savings. Even central banks around the world are stocking up on gold. It is time that you learn more about what precious metals can do for you. Right now, the top-rated precious metals company is Gold Co., and they are offering a free gold and silver kit to arm you with the facts about how gold could potentially help safeguard your retirement. So visit CandaceLikesGold.com to get your copy of the 2025 Gold and Silver Kit free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Again, that's CandaceLikesGold.com, or you can call 855-222-GOLD today. All right, listen, Melania Trump, let me tell you background. I've met everybody in the Trump administration. I can tell you who the yays are, who the nays are, and this woman is a yay, okay? I got to watch the midterm election results with her. I was the closest I've ever been in Melania Trump, and I had a little conversation with her. She's absolutely brilliant. She speaks like 9 languages, but that she gives the press nothing, just nothing. And so they write all these stories about her. I think she is like a secret weapon in the White House. Truly, I hope that she is always the one that's in Trump's ear, because she has very good instincts about people, and she stays away from people that she doesn't trust. All women are like this, by the way. We have very good gut instincts about people, and she's always kind of looking out for her husband, and you just get a sense from her. I guess the best way to describe it, she's very Eastern European. Like, she just has this, she's just cool in a way. Like, she just is very cool and very reserved and very classy, and she is not going to be in your face like, oh, hi, like, I love you, you're so great. It's not going to happen. She doesn't have the fakeness in her. She suffers from realness, just from being so real. The press hates her. She's got to suffer for it, okay? So I just loved this. This is absolutely amazing, and it just really speaks to her character. So there is this custom, in case you're not aware of it, that essentially the president-elect is supposed to come and sit down with the current president in the Oval Office, and then at the same exact time, the first lady is supposed to be hosting the to-be first lady, and they're supposed to have tea, and they take a cheesy little picture, and it's like, oh, we love each other, even though, like, obviously they don't love each other at all, particularly in a circumstance like today. Well, Melania Trump has said no to tea. She has said, no, thank you. I will not be sitting down for tea with you. And I just love this, because somebody in her camp spoke out to the New York Post, and this is the exact quotation that they gave them. They just said, she ain't going. She ain't going, a source familiar with Melania Trump told the Post. And I love this, because why should she have to go? And these are the reasons that she listed. She listed because her husband, as in Jill Biden's husband, Joe Biden himself, authorized, which he was allowed to do as the president, he authorized the FBI to raid Mar-a-Lago, to go through her home and to snoop through her underwear drawer and humiliate them because they just wanted to get Trump. She lives there. Her son lives there. She watched her son have to, what's going on? Suddenly being raided by the FBI, a former president and first lady needing to be raided? I mean, it's an absolute nonsense. So you did this, you snooped through her underwear drawer. I mean, the quotation that the person gave to the New York Post is, quote, Jill Biden's husband authorized the FBI snooping through her underwear drawer. The Bidens are disgusting, okay? Jill Biden is not someone Melania needs to meet, the source added. I mean, where is the gangster music? Seriously, like, she's just amazing for this, because that is how any woman would feel after watching what he allowed his Department of Justice to put them through over the last 4 years. First and foremost, you stole the election in 2020, so you took her house. She was living in the White House. You took that. You weren't supposed to be there. He then had to go out and win 3 times, okay, to get it back. He had to go out and win 3 times to be able to move them back into their home at the White House. Then, because you're salty, you authorized the DOJ to essentially harass them. And everywhere, by the way, I mean, Letitia James up in New York, they have gone through nonstop harassment over the next 4 years, hoping that they would harass them into silence and into compliance, trying to stop Trump from running again, because they knew, of course, that they didn't legitimately win in 2020, so they wanted to prevent him from running in 2024, right? If you can't beat him the first time, what makes you think you're going to be able to beat him the second time? And so for Melania to say, you know what, I'm not okay with this, is so great. And beyond that, another reason that has been listed by some sources is they are saying that Melania was very suspicious when Jill Biden called her following Donald Trump's assassination attempt. Apparently, Joe Biden called Melania, and she said she was so sorry about it. But a couple of days before it, she was on air calling Trump evil, calling him a liar, and essentially doing what I believe is soft signaling to psychopaths that they can harm her husband. What is it? I hate when the press removes themselves from the result of their words. You know, they get up on there and they're like, he's evil. He's literally Hitler. If he gets into the White House, then all will be lost. He's going to take away our tomorrows. He's a murderer. He's vindictive. He's a rapist. And then someone goes out and goes, okay, I think I'm gonna be a hero if I kill this literally Hitler person. And then all of a sudden the press goes, oh no. Jill Biden gets to say, oh no, I know I said your husband was evil and a dictator 2 days ago, but we never would have wanted Matthew Crooks to shoot him. As if, whatever, goodbye, get out of my face. Thank you, Melania Trump. I just think this is such a G move. You know what I mean? Like, she is just not someone who is going to be fake. And so Melania Trump, we just give it to you. Honestly, she wins all the awards today. Okay, so what else is the left absolutely having a meltdown about? Well, Donald Trump has announced his plans to abolish the Department of Education, something I have been begging for since I hit the public sphere. I have been saying in my book, I have a whole section in Blackout about the Department of Education and how it has just been an abject failure. Here is Trump saying he's going to shut it down. Take a listen.
And one other thing I'll be doing very early in the administration is closing up the Department of Education in Washington, D.C., and sending all education and education work and needs back to the states. We want them to run the education of our children because they'll do a much better job of it. You can't do worse. We spend more money per pupil by three times than any other nation, and yet we're absolutely at the bottom. We're one of the worst. So you can't do worse. We're going to end education coming out of Washington, D.C. We're going to close it up, all those buildings all over the place, and you have people that in many cases hate our children. We're going to send it all back to the states. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't think the Department of Education should be receiving $60 billion every single year, given the results of the education that they have been mandating to students. But there are some people, of course, who are already trying to signal to others that they should be fearful. And one such person is Bakari Sellers. I've actually debated him along many, many moons ago, I think on like MSNBC. He is this attorney, political commentator, also served in the South Carolina House of Representatives from 2006 to 2014. Look at his tweet here in response to this. He writes, "Trump just said he's going to eliminate the Department of Education. He didn't give you a how or what happens with the necessary funding for your children that come department. He just gonna put locks on the doors. Y'all voted for these next 4 years." Oh, yeah, actually, that's exactly what I voted for. So I tweeted this back at him. I said, yeah, this is exactly what I voted for. The Department of Education has been an abject failure since its inception in 1970. I meant to write 1979. It is systematically making students dumber each generation. You likely know this since you are currently appealing to midwits who will wrongly assume that abolishing federalized education means no more access to school. Either that, or you yourself wrongly believe that to be so and are unwittingly proving why it ought to be abolished. So you have this weird thing where people are learning nothing in school. It's just becoming one big present, and obviously these are turning into little indoctrination centers, Marxist indoctrination centers, and that as it was intended to, because the people who established and pushed for federalized education were quite literally communists that were coming from Germany and coming from Russia at the time, and they wanted to just set up Soviet propaganda, right? And so there's this wrong belief, and I really want to correct you in case you're one of these people that believe this, that we keep getting smarter. Maybe because we're holding a smartphone, like, oh, we must be getting smarter and smarter with every generation. We are factually, if you look at the metrics, getting dumber and dumber and dumber. So there's no metric somebody can produce to you that will say, prove that the Department of Education has been a success, because it simply hasn't been. And everyone knows this. Even the NAACP filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Education over literacy levels, because every generation, less and less students are even knowing how to read. They're not even learning how to read due to the intentional drive, by the way, I want to tell you, of the Department of Education, because that was their goal. Their goal was to turn us back into slaves slowly. What were slaves not allowed to do? Learn how to read. So imagine how brilliant it is, how Machiavellian it is, if you say, no, everyone's allowed to learn how to read. We're going to put you all in this department, beneath the Department of Education. We're going to federalize education. And then you teach them nothing. You do weird things. Like now when the kids are learning math, what is that new math program called? One of you guys speak to me in my ear. Common Core, is that what it is? Yeah, Common Core math. And you watch a kid who can't, like, it's like 22 steps to solve something that he should be able to just solve in his head. It's all about actually making kids dumber slowly until they are reverted back into slaves on a government plantation. But anyways, watch this clip, because it's the NAACP even admitting that nobody knows how to read anymore. Take a listen.
This NAACP filing a complaint with the U.S. Department of Education over what they call a literacy crisis. The group says students across the region, especially Black kids, are falling behind in reading. Recent data from 2022 shows St. Louis is more than three grade levels below the national reading average, and students in metros similar in size to St. Louis are performing at higher levels.
It is also our findings is that the literacy level of children, especially those in the inner city areas or high poverty areas, there's a direct linkage between crime and literacy.
The Department of Education will mediate between the NAACP and the local districts. But in the meantime, the NAACP is asking the public to support existing reading programs and help create new initiatives to help kids read in the metro.
So here are some updated statistics. Ready? This is according to the National Assessment of Educational Progress. It sounds like more stuff that our tax dollars are going to that we don't need. 84% of Black students, 84% of Black students lack proficiency in mathematics. 85% of Black students lack proficiency in reading skills. In California, 90% of students cannot do math or read well. In New York, the numbers are 85% and 82%. In Illinois, it's 86% and 85%. In Texas, the numbers are 84% and 89%. Maryland sits at 86% for math and 80% for reading. South Carolina, 90% and 87%. I mean, abject failure, but actually, I would actually say it's been a success because this is what they desired. They do not want people to be intelligent. They want them to be emotional fools. They want them to behave like toddlers throwing temper tantrums. And I want to show you this. I know I've mentioned it a few times, but I really wanted to read it to you guys today. So they tell you that in order to be educated, you got to go to college, you got to be smart. And like I said, you can just go back and read the writings of people before there was a Department of Education, before there was even standard school, okay? This is a Civil War letter that was written by a 17-year-old, okay? His name was Langdon L. Rumpf, and he's writing this letter to his father. He writes this, "My dear father, yours of the 5th came safely to hand yesterday, and I was glad to learn that all things at home were getting along smooth and well. I also received a letter from Aunt M by mail dated the 2nd. All but grandmother, she says, are well. We are faring much better than at first. We get more and better food, which is about all soldiers care for. I took a sail today on a little skiff, went near the U.S. steamer Wyandotte and about 150 yards of Pickens, and then out in the Gulf about 5 miles to where the other U.S. ships were at anchor. The Brooklyn, St. Louis, and Sabine are much larger than the Wyandotte, and she carries 6.64 pounds. When we were coming back, the wind began to rise and the green waves to roll. The boat came near dipping water 2 or 3 times. I began to feel kind squally. No fight is apprehended now, and all seem to be well pleased. However, we have to work on our sand batteries daily, Sundays not accepted." I mean, hello! That's a 17-year-old. A 17-year-old in the Civil War writing that letter to his father. If you challenged 17-year-olds across America today to write a letter to their father, do you think that's what it would sound like? That's my question to you. And the obvious answer is no. So please stop believing this idea that because we're becoming more technologically advanced, that we are becoming more intellectual, because we are not. We are becoming very dumb. I mean, we are stupid, guys. I am telling you, when you take a look at everything that is happening, you go, wow, how Machiavellian to establish a Department of Education, call it something that it's explicitly not, actually. It is a department of no education, all feelings, no facts, no knowledge. And then they send the elites to different schools so that they learn, so that they can just kind of, you know, pass the baton. And they know that those elites will be the ones running the world while the rest of us are going to be enslaved by them. But don't let me get off on a tangent. Don't let me get off on a tangent. Let me instead tell you about American financing before I show you this remarkable clip of Joy Reid. Okay. The Fed has dropped interest rates, so you need to call my friends in American financing today. Now is the perfect time to consolidate debt and reduce your monthly expenses. A lot of us have been forced to use credit cards because of the ridiculous prices at the grocery store, power, and even childcare. That debt can get really expensive with credit card rates being so high, but with mortgage rates dropping, now is the time to wipe that debt out. American Financing is helping homeowners just like you save over $800 a month on average. They're even closing some in as fast as 10 days. And if you start today, you may delay 2 mortgage payments. There are no upfront fees, to find out how much you can save. Just call American Financing today. The number is 800-795-1210. Again, that's 800-795-1210. Or you can just visit AmericanFinancing.net/Owens. Okay, actually, I want to honorably mention before we get to the amazing, always amazing, and by always amazing, I mean a complete moron, Joy Reid. I want to mention the Stomp Pompeo movement has been a success. So if you guys have been following this, of course, we all got Trump over the finish line. Now there is concern about his cabinet picks and whether or not they are going to be neocons, people that essentially are just very obviously going to serve the deep state, the CIA, and going to get us into another war. It's very obvious that war is on the menu. They're giving us a few appetizers, blaming Iran for everything, everywhere, kind of like Russia, Russia, Russia. And they want war with Iran very quickly. So paying attention to who he is going to name as his defense secretary, as a secretary of state, those are very important picks, right? So somehow Pompeo's name was being floated. Crazy. Now, in case you don't know why Pompeo is indeed a psychopath and a part of the deep state, you can't say and pledge that you're going to drain the swamp if you're going to pick a swamp creature like Pompeo. Here is Tucker Carlson on Joe Rogan reminding the world of what exactly it was that Mike Pompeo took part in. Take a listen.
I spoke to someone who'd seen the documents, okay, 2 years ago, and I got
this is about JFK,
one fact
by
out
the
of
way.
Him, which is, yes, the CIA was involved. And by CIA, CIA is a huge organization, but James Jesus Angleton, the head of the operations directorate, had knowledge of this, which I think is well known. But that's the view of someone who saw the documents. So I thought that was news. So I went on TV and said that. The next day, I'll never forget it, I went quail hunting. And I was driving back, and I got a phone call from Mike Pompeo's lawyer. Mike Pompeo was the Secretary of State, but before then, he was the director of the CIA. And in that position, he plotted the murder of Julian Assange. So he is a criminal, as far as I'm concerned. But his lawyer called me and said, you know, you should know that anyone who tells you the contents of classified documents has committed a crime. He's threatening me. It was in my car. I'll never, with my dog sitting next to me, I'll never forget this. And I said, are you really saying that to reveal that the U.S. government had a role in the murder of a democratically elected president, to say that out loud, that's the crime? What about the actual crime, which is murdering a president? Like, you're covering up for that, Mike Pompeo.
What did he say to that?
He had no response at all. And so Mike Pompeo is the one who pressed Trump to keep those documents secret. And so it's like, what's crazy to me is not just that Pompeo did that. I think Pompeo is a really sinister person and a criminal. I think that. I think that because the facts suggest that. He was caught. Yahoo News, Mike Isikoff wrote a long piece on this several years ago. His employees went to Mike Isikoff and said, hey, Mike Pompeo is plotting to murder Julian Assange, who has never even been charged with a crime in the United States, as CIA director. That's illegal. You're not allowed. Federal employees are not allowed to just kill people they don't like. Okay, just to set the baseline here. So that's who Mike Pompeo is. But he somehow intimidated Trump into not releasing this. Well, okay, that's all bad, right? I think it's criminal behavior. What's crazy is how Mike Pompeo is treated. He's treated as like a Republican poobah in good standing. He fully expects to become the Secretary of Defense in a Trump administration, which is like completely insane. Why would you take a criminal and give him nuclear weapons? Okay, that's my view. I think it's a common sense view. And like, he goes to fundraisers and dinners and everyone's like, hey, Mike Pompeo. It's like, no, you're the guy who kept information the public has a right to know secret. You're the guy who plotted the murder of someone who committed no crime. You are the outlaw. You are the bad guy. But no, he's treated as like, you know, like a pillar of Republican Washington. I think it's mind-bending to watch that.
It is mind-bending to watch that. I mean, show of hands, if you believe the CIA is a group of serial killers that are allowed to get away with it because they have now made themselves a government agency. My hands up. My hands up. Everything I've read, everything I've learned, we are talking about a group of psychopathic serial killers who are engaged in the worst crimes, not just home, but also abroad. And they are infested. I mean, there's absolutely infesting Washington, D.C., an infestation there. And they have they've used their psychopathic tendencies to put a lot of people, blackmail a lot of people into submission. And so it is extremely alarming what Tucker is saying there. It's extremely alarming that he was even on the short list. And this is what we're understanding from the press. Maybe it's incorrect, but that his name had been floated and you had people, neocons, saying like he's definitely going to be in that position, that he's going to become the defense secretary of a secretary of state. And then Trump came out and said that that wasn't true. And there was obviously a celebration, like a small win. But then we're wondering, who is he going to put in his place, in his, I guess, this vacant seat? Dave Smith tweeted this on the success of the Stomp Pompeo movement, and I think he really hit it right. He wrote, the Stomp Pompeo movement is great, but it's not enough. Right now, we need maximum pressure to keep all neocons and war hawks out of the Trump administration. They have had their time at the table and brought nothing but disaster to the world and this country. America first, screw the war machine. Totally agree with that. And now it is being alleged that he's thinking about Marco Rubio. Again, begs the question, why? Why can't he go with someone who has an isolationist perspective? Why doesn't he pick someone like Thomas Massie? If we are really going to be leading the charge and saying that we're America first, we should have people who we know are like dyed in the wool, isolationist America first people. And I believe people like Thomas Massie should be filling all of these slots. And so, you know, there is some concern here about whether or not the Trump campaign has been infiltrated, because people that are neocons and hate Trump are saying that they have successfully infiltrated in private circles. I've heard about this from their assistants, that they're kind of bragging and giving each other high fives and essentially saying that they are going to be in charge of cabinet picks because of whoever it is that has Trump's ear. And I'm not sure who that person is, but I'll let you know that when I find out, I'll be the first one to out them. And I am on the case. All right, guys. Now, I did want to do a follow-up. Last week, we were kind of grappling, trying to understand how it is that Kamala Harris's campaign was $20 million in debt. And I sort of asked the question, you know, has she been like paying all of these celebrities to come out and support her? But now I got to show you this clip because it's just hilarious. Joy Reid, she is just a special breed of stupid. She really is. It's incredible. It's fascinating. I hope she is forever on the airwaves, because she rather incredulously claims that Kamala ran a flawless campaign, and she has proof. She has proof that it was flawless. Take a listen.
And I think it's important to say that, you know, anyone who has experienced or been in the United States for any period of time and experienced this country's history and knows it cannot have believed that it would be easy to elect a woman president, let alone a woman of color. Mm-hmm. Let's just be clear. Mm-hmm. And nothing that was true yesterday about how flawlessly this campaign was run is not true now. I mean, mm-hmm. this really was an historic, flawlessly run campaign. She had, Queen Latifah never endorses anyone. She came out and endorsed. You know, I mean, she had every prominent celebrity voice. She had the Taylor Swifties, the Swifties. She had the Beehive. Like, you could not have run a better campaign in that short period of time. And I think that's still true.
Mm-hmm. Man, guys. I mean, read the room. I don't understand. How did she not win? She had so many billionaires coming out and saying, like, definitely vote for her. And she had the Swifties. Taylor Swift came out. Beyonce came out and blessed her with her presence. She had Oprah. Like, how did she lose? I'm so confused. It's just amazing. I mean, it truly is just amazing to see this. And by the way, as a follow-up, we were grappling with how the campaign ended $20 million in debt after losing the race. And it turns out that they had spent over $1 billion in 90 days. And according to the reports, they're looking into what she spent the money on. Kamala Harris spent six figures building the set for Kamala's appearance on the Call Her Daddy podcast with Alex Cooper. Remember, like, the podcast that she constantly talks about sex, and Kamala elected to do that. Nobody knows why. Obviously, she realized that her market was that, speaking about abortion, and indeed, they did speak about abortion. Well, look at that set, ladies and gentlemen. Let's show them again. Look at that $100,000 set that she built. Why? Why? First and foremost, if you're going to have that being done, wouldn't you expect that Alex was going to pick up the bill, that she was going to pick up the bill? Nope. Kamala and them said, no, we're going to build a special set for this and make it happen, to make it look like she's in a warm living room. They did that. Another big ticket item was they spent $15 million on event production towards the celebrity performance, like the Election Eve rally with Katy Perry and Lady Gaga and Ricky Martin. It's likely that they got paid out of that. And she also paid $1 million to Harper Productions, which is owned by Oprah Winfrey, because Oprah did a town hall with Kamala Harris. $1 million. I want to be Oprah. Can someone pay me $1 million for an endorsement? Come on, just give me $1 million for endorsement. I'm like, this is crazy. This is stupid money. And it didn't work. That's the craziest part. None of it worked. So to the shock and astonishment of Joy Reid, who really is just such a genius. Like, it didn't work. I don't know. I wonder how much Taylor Swift got. Who knows? Nobody knows for that post. I guess she could have charged tens of millions of dollars for it. ladies and gentlemen, they just cannot see themselves. They really are just living on another planet from us. All right, I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to reading all of your comments. I just first want to tell you guys, update on Australia, so you know that my visa was unilaterally banned by one man, Tony Burke. Well, we are appealing that. We are going through the court process. If you purchased a ticket to our Australia and New Zealand shows, you don't have to get rid of them. We have already confirmed all of the new tour dates, and we're going to do that in Q1 of next year. So just visit the websites and you'll see the new tour dates, and we're still coming to the exact same places. And so if you're able to accommodate those tour dates, you do not have to return your tickets. I feel good about our chances at an appeal. I feel good first and foremost because Trump is now president, and countries banning people for speech reasons, I don't think is going to fly. You can see that him being reelected has sort of sent a strong message to the rest of the world. And I also just feel good because it just seems like it was a wake-up call to Australians. They have really hit back. Somebody even put up a Give, Send, Go that's raised like $20,000 to help with our appeal costs, which is absolutely amazing. So I want to thank you guys for that. But we are still coming to New Zealand and Australia. We're just bumping that tour to the beginning of next year so that we can take time and filing our appeal, which we have filed actually. And we're just waiting to get an official court date. So I'll keep you guys updated here. All right. Do you owe back taxes? Pandemic relief is now over, along with hiring thousands of new agents and field officers. The IRS has kicked off 2024 by sending over 5 million pay up letters to those who have unfiled tax returns or balances owed. Do not waive your rights and speak with them on your own. They are not your friends, obviously. Tax Network USA, a trusted tax relief firm, has saved over $1 billion in back taxes for their clients, and they can help you secure the best deal possible. Whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, they can help you. Whether it's business or personal, they can help you. Even if you have the means to pay or you are on a fixed income, they can help finally resolve your tax burdens once and for all. So call 1-800-958-1000 for a private free consultation, or you can visit tnusa.com/Candace. Again, that's tnusa.com/Candace. All right, guys, I'm so excited to read your comments. I have so much to say. I really could just do this show for 2 hours right now, but I'm just going to save some more stuff tomorrow. There's more topics I want to cover, either the purple head lady showing up at Nick Fuentes' door. He apparently pepper sprayed her. I have thoughts about that, but I'm going to have to wait until tomorrow. I also, there's so many topics I'm not going to get to today. This is what happens when we miss a Monday. But let's see what you guys are saying down here in the comments. Julie May writes, just when you think it can't get more absurd, it gets more absurd regarding the 4B movement. Yeah, it is, another name for it is an extinction movement. It doesn't really matter. If you're just going to extinct yourselves, Darwinism is a thing. So I invite them to it. But I really do think we have to stop with the compassion and just start telling people your behavior is not acceptable. Like in this tribe of humanity, your behavior is animalistic. It's odd. It's weird. And there's no place for you here. ADFU writes, compassion and ridicule can't be used against leftist lunatics. It enables and demonizes, which fuels them. Disregard or ignore them. These people feed off of ego. Trauma is used as a right to enter the discord. I hear your perspective, but I disagree. I think it largely is because there is always someone telling them it's okay. And we have become too scared, really, so much. We have been so silent. We have been the silent majority when they are coming at us with all these new terms, and I'm a mermaid, and I'm this, and we essentially got bullied into silence. And we're like, you guys are the weird ones for being so normal. And I'm kind of like, I'm thinking that we need to go back to reminding them, or like, we're not going to accept this, essentially. And compassion should be reserved for people that actually deserve compassion, not for lunatics, raving lunatics that want to run our society. Ash Bash writes, women are claiming to be oppressed. Iraq is trying to lower the age of consent to 9. You are not the same. Praying for those little girls. Yeah, it is such a contrast here where women here just want to claim oppression. I think really because it's easy. It's very easy. It makes you so that you can kind of offset all the personal responsibility in your life. And then you travel beyond the United States or beyond the West and you see what other people are going through and you just go, it kind of makes you resent American women a bit, right? I can feel sometimes like I just really resent the remarkable privilege that people have that they can wait in line and raise their hands and ask to be oppressed. It's a nonsense. Mrs. Susie writes, can you put it on a shirt? I don't need to validate your feelings. You need to regulate them. Yeah, I probably should put that on a t-shirt. Yeah, that is just the reality. I'm not here to validate. You must learn to regulate. Scad writes, thoughts on liberal black women not supporting Palestine anymore after election results because Arabs and Muslims didn't vote for Kamala. That is the new TikTok trend. I have not seen that at all. So I'm going to have to check that out before I can give you any thoughts on that. That is very interesting. Sarah writes, the women that fall for the anti-men narrative are the same women who will believe the Antichrist. Yeah, I believe it. I think that it's all a piece of it, right? I mean, what could be more antithetical to Christ than being against family, you know, sort of essentially honoring child sacrifice in the form of like 9-month term abortions, is hating family, wanting to disrupt the nuclear family unit, hating men, hating masculinity. I mean, yeah, these people obviously have been possessed by a demon of sorts, and you can blame tons of people for contributing to the growth of that demon, but at the end of the day, it does need to be absolved. And a lot of these women just need good old-fashioned exorcisms. They need a priest. Ivy writes, I live in England. My 11-year-old daughter told me in school they were learning about Hitler. Her teacher said he was racist, just like Trump. I'm going there tomorrow to complain. How dare they? Yes, Ivy. Whoop, whoop. I have already said, I just wish somebody would at school say something like this. I wish I was you, Ivy. I can't wait to go to school when somebody does like something like this to my kids. I just can't wait to put on a little backpack and walk with my son and my daughter and be like, I got to go talk to the principal every day. Every day, we have to be the parents that stand up to this and say enough is enough, because we know there are a lot of wackadoodle teachers out there. There are good teachers, but there are also some wackadoodles out there. And they're going to be allowed to be in teaching your daughters, teaching your sons, ripping them away from you when they're allowed to give their personal political perspectives rather than just teaching them hard academics. Your job is to teach them math and science, not feelings. Anwar writes, Candace, please shout out my friend Monique from Australia. Monique, hello, Monique. She loves you. Also have on Scott Horton. He is a gem. Yes, he's actually on my list of people to get on. I have a long list, and he is on the short list. Lastly, this person writes, Candace, how come you're not our UN ambassador for Israel? Yeah, I tweeted that. It's so crazy. It's just crazy. Trump announced, I think Mike Huckabee is going to be the ambassador to Israel, so he just went right over my head. I really thought that I had to have been on the list. And I honestly thought I was going to be the pick. And so learning that today was deeply disappointing. It's very sad. I just think it just would have been a really nice place for me. And I think people would have been very happy to see me in that position. But I guess it wasn't in the cards for me, you guys. All right, that is all the time that we have for today, guys. Don't forget to like us here, subscribe. Thank you so much for 3 million, by the way. That was our personal goal, was my personal goal that I kind of put upon my team. I was like, guys, we have to get 3 million subscribers, because that was like my old channel. I had just passed that metric when I got fired from the Daily Wire. And I was like, no, I want my channel. I want my channel back. But they had the rights to it legally. And so I made it my personal goal. I was like, let's get to 3 million subscribers and try to do it within 6 months, which would have been until like January 12th. And instead, we did it in just shy of 5 months. And I just love you guys so much for that. So thank you for those of you guys that are following us on YouTube, following us on Rumble. Our audience is growing there. On Spotify, you've kept us at the top of the charts. I'm just obsessed with you guys. I love you so much. And I'm going to see you guys tomorrow.